you for this time of study together as we launch into a new series on the power of praise and worship. Lord, I pray that we would go beyond just theory, that we go beyond just head knowledge. Lord, may this be a time where our lives are radically changed and we become worshipers instead of just worship service attendees. Lord, we want to be those who are worshipers all throughout the day. We want to have a revelation of what it means to walk in the presence of God through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. In Jesus' mighty name, if you agree for your life, would just say amen.
Amen.
I want you to write that title down. Early on, when we started this church, I taught some of this on a Wednesday night series. But I want you to write this title down, The Power of Praise and Worship. I don't know how many weeks this is going to go. It's going to go for quite a number of weeks. But I really feel that we are at a point in the history of our church where God wants to focus, spotlight, praise and worship and prayer. And I kind of see prayer and worship as the two wings of that golden eagle. And that golden eagle soars high above the buzzards. Hallelujah. That golden eagle flies high above the fray. The eagle is up there soaring on the currents. The eagle is not one who flaps a lot. You know, that's the buzzard image. That we don't want to be a vulture. We don't want to be a buzzard. We want to be an eagle. Everybody say, I'm an eagle.
I'm an eagle.
Look at somebody and say, you're an eagle. Now, some of you had to say that by faith, I guess, but just say it by faith. You're an eagle in Jesus' name. But in order for that eagle to fly, you've got to have two wings. You've got to have the power of praise and worship on one side. You've got to have the revelation of prayer on the other side. And those are the two mechanisms, I believe, that God has given us to catch the currents of His Spirit. To catch the currents of His Spirit and flow and fly where God wants us to go. Now, I want you to write this subtitle down. Today, we're going to be focusing on abiding in His presence. Abiding in His presence. And so the whole series is entitled The Power of Praise and Worship. And today's particular focus is abiding in His presence. And I've chosen to start with none other than David. David, even as a young man, he knew how to draw into the presence of God. Now, I want you to write that in shorthand somehow down in your note-taking there. Just a question to yourself. Do you know how to draw into the presence of God? Would you just write that question? Now, I'm asking you, do you know how to draw into the presence of God? Or do you just have to kind of wait, you know, for that anointed time in a service or, you know, when a Joyce Meyer or Benny Hinn, who we appreciate all these ministries, when they come to town and they bring, you know, an anointing with them, do you have to wait for one of those times? Or do you know how to draw into the presence of the Lord yourself? Because as a congregation, I believe that we are only going to be able to attain the vision and the mission that God has for us if corporately we take time to draw into the presence of the Lord. Well, don't everybody say amen all at once. It's just overwhelming. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
And so, you know, I'm going to teach on it, but I'm not going to necessarily always teach right up until the end of the service. We may go back into some praise and worship. We may go into some time of prayer. So I'm just telling you in advance, and I realize that our crowd is small. We're still in the summer. In fact, we're at the end of the summer, and people are squeezing in vacations. But I'm just telling you, and you can help me spread the word, that I'm after more than just giving you information to write down. I believe that this is a time where our congregation corporately is being molded and shaped more into the image that God wants for us. With that said, go to chapter 16, 1 Samuel 16, go to verse 13. It says, then Samuel took the horn of oil. This was a great day in David's life. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, David, in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord, everybody say the Spirit of the Lord. And when we talk about the anointing, we're talking about the Spirit of the Lord. We're not talking about, you know, the force be with you. You know, we're not fighting Darth Vader. There's something, a force that's more real than, you know, a fictitious character. We are in a spiritual warfare that encompasses the entire cosmos. His name is Satan. That's the one that we fight. He's the one who opposes the brethren. He's the one that tries to undo the plans of God. And in order for us to battle and win, we must flow in the Spirit of the Lord. You can't do it in your own power. You must flow into the Spirit of the Lord. But on this day, verse 13, it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now that doesn't mean that David never had the Spirit of the Lord with him prior to that, but it means that a greater anointing, a greater presence of the Lord came into his life from that day forward. How many of you believe that WOCC corporately can have a greater presence of the Lord? And see, I'm just going to break it right up front, just break this whole, blow this deal right out of the water. The worship service is not a warm-up session for the preacher. The worship session is not, you know, let's try to get a little blood flowing. I know it's Sunday, you know, and maybe get a little bit up into their cerebral area and they can listen to you once you get up to talk a little bit, preacher. The worship service is probably the most important time of a service. Why? That's when we come into his presence, we acknowledge him as king, and we begin to love on him and worship him. And Jesus always has the right to come to the minister and change everything at that point because he is Lord. Everybody say, he is Lord.
He is Lord.
And so corporately, we are after a greater anointing. The things that I see God wants to do by the Spirit, when I look at that wall there, and I know there's space on the other side, and in fact, this week, they're getting ready to start digging the concrete, putting the plumbing in, framing's going to start going up. We've got the plans have been approved by the fire marshals. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap for that. Praise God. That's always huge. When we met with the fire marshals, I mean, they kept writing stuff, and the guy was just, I was like, Jesus, help us, you know, shut this man's mouth. God, help me, you know. I mean, every time he wrote, there was a $500, and $100, and, you know, $10,000. Oh, got to make that wall another $10,000. I'm like, hallelujah, we're already out of money. We hadn't even started, you know. But I'll tell you, God turned it around, and some of the codes actually, I can't go into it right now, it'll take too long, but some of the codes actually were changed in Cobb County the very week that we submitted our plans that saved us over $10,000. That's a miracle from Jesus. But when I look at that space next door, and I, in my mind I see, you know, the auditorium almost twice this size. When I see on the other side classrooms over there, a children's ministry area where they're not all cramped up, you know, and we can put 100 children, you know, into a children's ministry area. And I begin to see what Jesus wants to do. He wants to fill this place up twice on Sunday and once on Saturday. I begin to see a Saturday night meeting. I begin to see two Sunday morning services. I begin to see all that the Lord wants to do. I'm so aware that there's no amount of work in the flesh that can do that. It's got to be the anointing of the Lord. And in order for the anointing of the Lord to be there, there has to be both wings in operation. Now, I'm not trying to be cruel or off color here, but can you imagine a bird with one wing flapping? That's pitiful. I mean, just going in circles. That kind of reminds me of some Christians. Hello. But, you know, just flapping one wing going in circles. Can't ever take off. Can't ever get anywhere. And we've got to have the worship on one side and we've got to have the prayer on the other, and we're going to move it that way. That's the direction that the Lord has given me. Look at verse 13. It says, from that day forward, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, meaning in a greater capacity. Now go to verse 18. There's a lot in this passage, and you'll remember the story. Saul was the ruling, reigning king. It seemed absolutely impossible to David. How in the world, what do you mean I'm anointed king? We've already got a king. What's going to happen here? And David didn't know. I'm convinced that God does not tell us everything, because if he told us everything, we would not have the wonderful opportunity to develop faith. If he told us everything, we might run. That's another thing. We might run if he told us everything. But I'm convinced that some things God just says, you don't need to know. You're on a need-to-know basis, and you don't need to know. I said, you're on a need-to-know basis, and you don't need to know. What you need to do is trust me one day at a time. Verse 18, then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is... Now, I want you to look at the qualities that David was known for. Would you mark these in verse 18? Here's what David was known for. He's cunning in playing. And that's referring to the instrument that he played, the musical instrument that he played. David, even as a young man, was an awesome minister in worship unto the Lord. Well, I'm not talking about in front of a congregation, or I'm not talking about, you know, cutting a CD or anything like that. I mean, he was just out there ministering to the Lord. And the rumor kind of spread around, David, you know, he's a worshiper. You go to David's room, you know, you're not going to hear any rock and roll stuff. You're going to hear worship tapes. You know, you hang around David and he's going to get you worshiping. Oh, he's always singing. That boy's always singing. You know, you get in his car, get in his truck, there's always worship in there. I'm sorry, get in his chariot, there's always worship there. You know, he said that he's cunning and plain, and notice what follows right after that, mighty, a mighty valiant man, a man of war. Now, see, there's a connection there. You need to underline that. You'll be powerful in spiritual warfare when you are a worshiper. I'm going to say that again. You'll be powerful in spiritual warfare when you are a worshiper. And we see this later played out in David's life where, remember how Goliath was taunting everybody? And I mean, all the men that had been highly trained, you know, in the Israeli army, they were resistant to go out. They're afraid of Goliath. Remember the story? David just walks in there, and he walks in a confidence that had nothing to do with military training. He walked in there with a confidence. He said, you know, why are you letting this guy stand out there cursing our God and cursing the nation of Israel? I will go out today and take his head off the top of his shoulders and feed his carcass to the buzzards. Now, some of y'all just went cross-eyed right there. We're talking confidence. Everybody say confidence. Well, David, you don't even have a sword. I don't need a sword. I'll use his own sword on his own head. I do have my trusty slingshot. And I know how to worship God, and God makes the rocks go where they need to go. I'm convinced the day he slung that rock, here it comes. I'm convinced even if David had slung it in the wrong direction, the Holy Ghost would have gone and just blown that rock right into Goliath's forehead. I'm convinced of that. Look at verse 18. He is a cunning and plain, a mighty, valiant man, a man of war, prudent in matters. Underline that part. That means wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. I'll tell you, when you take time to worship God, you'll get some wisdom. You know, instead of rushing out there and doing what you'd like to do, you'll have wisdom. All comes from worship. This is a powerful verse, verse 18. Prudent in matters, a comely person. Oh, yes, it'll even make you look prettier. Hallelujah. Now, some of y'all need to just worship just for that reason right there. You know, just forget all the other stuff. Some of y'all need that part desperately. I better move along. You know, that's true, though. You find somebody, you could find a man, you know, who the world would say is absolutely handsome on the outside, or a woman who they say is beautiful on the outside, and put a sour attitude in them. Just put a sour attitude in them. And it shows up on their countenance. It shows up in their eyes. And somehow it just detracts from who they could be. You take somebody who's really just an average person. You take somebody who's an average person by the world standards. You know, maybe the guy never made it into GQ or you know, Vanity Fair for the ladies or whatever, you know, the ladies want to be in. Vanity Fair, that's probably, you know, that's good. Vanity Fair, all right. And it's a circus sometimes. But the truth is, you take an average person and you put the Spirit of God in them. And you put a worshiping spirit. You put a positive attitude in them. It shows up on their countenance, and it shows up in their eyes and in their smile. And suddenly there's a beauty there, there's an attraction there that's not of the flesh, it's something of the Spirit. I'm glad that's part of that verse, aren't you? I claim that part. A comely person, the Lord is with him. Everybody say, the Lord is with him. Now go to verse 23. I know I'm skipping around, but for the sake of time, go to verse 23. This is still David as a young man. Now, remember the story, and I'll take issue with some things that they thought here. Saul was in rebellion. There's no doubt about it. Saul was in rebellion. And evil spirits were tormenting Saul. And in those days, they thought everything came from God. They didn't have the benefit that we do of Ephesians 6. We know in Ephesians 6 that not everything comes from God. We know that we're in a spiritual warfare, and there are wicked spirits, principalities, powers, wicked spirits, and so forth, that buffet the Christian. Nevertheless, notice they knew to call upon David, who is a worshiper. And here's my point. I want you to see the connection between worship and being delivered from depression. Verse 23 says, "And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God," that's what they said, "was upon Saul, that David took a harp and played with his hand." Now, I want you to mark this in verse 23. So Saul was refreshed. Could we say that out loud? Saul was refreshed. Say it out loud. Saul was refreshed and was well. He got a healing, a deliverance when that worship happened. And the evil spirit departed from him. I tell you, there's times in all of our lives we're discouraged, we're downcast, and that's the time our flesh says, I don't want to worship God. You know, we want to resort back and listen to some old tunes that, you know, we had in the past. And God says, no, you need to put a worship tape in now. You need to begin to lift your voice in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs now. You begin to worship the Lord now. But I don't feel like it. Well, I got news for you. Your flesh isn't ever going to feel like it. But as you just press in by faith and begin to worship God, there's a connection there. It says that you'll be refreshed, you'll be well, and evil spirits cannot stand praise and worship. You need to write that in your notes. Evil spirits cannot stand praise and worship. They will go the other way. It is an atmosphere that repulses them. That's why it's important that churches have powerful worship and praise. Because I'm so aware that every time we open these doors, whether it's a Wednesday or a Sunday or a special meeting, that we could have people come through those front doors. They could be members or they could be a guest that has never been here before. And they can come here so weighed down and so beat up by what the world's thrown at them. Some folks have come in here suicidal. And you know what? They may not understand what I'm teaching. They don't understand the power of praise and worship. But they get in the atmosphere of worship that our church has. Our church has wonderful worship. They get into this church and they're in the atmosphere and suddenly they start feeling better. They don't know the theology of it. They don't know about spiritual warfare. They just know they feel better. And they go out and they find a deliverance. Now hopefully, and here's one of the problems, people will go out and they have to have come again, you know, to get well again. They don't understand they can carry that with them. But as they come to this church, they'll understand, as we teach on this and preach on this, they'll understand that they can become worshipers. Not just worship service attendees, though worship services are important, but they can become a worshiper and they can worship God throughout the day. You know, driving around their vehicle, they can worship God. But verse 23 says, so Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now go with me to First Chronicles chapter 14. 1 Chronicles 14. Now I've implemented a new policy as of today. I've been waiting on the right time, and I've had a thought to do it earlier, but I've just had a check in my spirit, and then today, I just felt that today was the day. And when I said, Lord, when this was going on in my mind, I was back there praying while the worship team was rehearsing, and I keep that knob turned up. I can listen to them. I can listen to them in here during the rehearsal, and I get blessed, and I can hear what they're doing. But I was back there praying, and I felt like the Lord said to make this policy today. And I'm going to tell you in just a minute. Aren't you kind of interested in what that policy is? Come back next week and I will tell you what that policy is. No. And so I said, but Lord, this is a summer Sunday. And I know not everybody's going to be here. This isn't the right Sunday, Lord. Let me just talk to you a little bit, Lord. Down here we have summer vacations. And the Lord said, no, implement it today. But the policy is this. And understand, it's to be done with a smile. And that is when the worship starts in the auditorium here, I've asked the ushers to just friendly circulate, and we want you to fellowship before the service, but if there's fellowship taking place in the foyer or in the hallway, then our ushers, it's just a friendly manner, are going to say, Pastor wants everybody in the auditorium for worship. How many of you can receive that? And how many of you will just help us with a smile, others to get that in their heart? Come on, raise your hand. How many? If you don't, I'll have to get the hit squad. Again, Robert and them, they'll get them in there. Amen. Throw Mike Connor in there. Mike and the hit squad will go get him in here. But I think it can be done with a smile, just a reminder. Okay, you're fellowshipping and you haven't seen this person for a while. That's wonderful. But worship has started, and so Pastor wants you in the auditorium. And see, that goes back to the whole realization that worship is not a warm-up session. Worship is an awesome time where we are in God's presence. All kind of things can happen in worship. Some of the most important things can happen in worship without anybody ever laying hands on another person. Just what we read about Saul. Somebody can be delivered from discouragement or depression. Somebody can find wellness, wholeness in their body. You know, you go to a Benny Hinn meeting, or you go to and look at some of the old Catherine Kuhlman videos, and really it's the worship, it's the atmosphere of worship where that river starts flowing. And they'll just worship. They'll just worship and worship and worship. And if you have a religious bone in your body, you know, after about your normal 20-minute deal, you'll be sat down going, you know, what kind of meeting is this? Well, you just might as well just camp out there because it's going to be about 2 or 3 hours of worship in the Lord. Why? Because in His presence, things can happen. In His presence, things can happen. All right, now, where did I tell you to go? Just checking to make sure you're there. All right, 1 Chronicles chapter 14. Go down to verse 8. I've been to this passage a number of times. and I'll be going to this passage many more times. It's a very important passage in my estimation. Begin with verse 8. I want you to see. Now, we saw David as a young man. Here's David as he's older now. Verse 8. And when the Philistines heard that David was anointed king. Now, see, Samuel anointed him, but how many of you know there were some years there, there was a period where he wasn't really the acting king. How many of you have a vision in your heart and you're just in a waiting phase? Come on. You're just like, I have no idea. Well, you just wait on God. Verse 8, and when the Philistines heard that David was anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek David. The men there were going to kill him. And David heard of it and went out against them. And the Philistines came and spread themselves in the Valley of Rephaim. Now, imagine this. You've just been declared, you know, the king. Saul is dead. And finally, you're there. And the first thing to greet you is a war party from Philistia. And here they are. They've spread themselves in this valley. We might as well shut this guy down before he even gets started. Look at verse 10. And David inquired of God. Most of you probably have that already marked in your Bible, but if you don't, I want you to mark that phrase, David inquired of God. That gets back to the question that I gave you earlier that is important for our congregation. That is this, do you know how to draw into God's presence? Or do you have to have somebody else implement that for you? Now, all of us, and there's a growth there. I mean, there was a time I didn't know how to draw into the presence of the Lord. I grew up in a denominational church, and hey, we went to church, you know, once a quarter, whether, you know, our family really needed to or not. And so my whole idea of worship was, if it's not printed in the bulletin, you don't know where to go. Turn to hymn 205 and this. And some of those hymns were wonderful, but really it wasn't. I didn't know how to press into God. Once in a while, I would sense something. I didn't even know to call it the anointing. I would just sense something. I would sense God, you know, I would sense the Holy Spirit. I didn't even know to say the Holy Spirit, other than in the creed. I believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And that always scared me as a little kid anyway, you know, the whole idea of ghosts, you know. I didn't realize ghost, spirit, same thing, you know. But we say Holy Ghost in the Presbyterian church, and that always kind of unnerved me a little bit because I didn't want any of them to visit me at night, you know. I'm just being honest with you. I mean, that's how clueless I was. They know anything about worship. And then I remember getting around some the first Spirit-filled folks. I went to a prayer meeting at Georgia Southern University down in Statesboro. I'd never seen anything like it. Just a small group in an apartment. And here they were lifting their hands, worshiping. Well, that kind of freaked me out right there. I mean, just people with their hands raised up. And then they were singing in some kind of a foreign language they had all learned. You know, it's like I'd stumbled into, you know, some type of a Middle Eastern foreign language, you know, meeting or something. But it was beautiful. It was really beautiful. And so I didn't know the theology of it. I couldn't analyze it, but I felt the presence. Now, see, there's nothing wrong with that. There's a time in your spiritual life and growth that you don't know how to draw into the presence of God for yourself, and that's why others, you know, they help you along. That's when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues. Hallelujah. Went out that night to the fairground down in Statesboro. See, I grew up in Atlanta, so, I mean, Statesboro is like falling off the edge of the world as far as I was concerned. But I went out to the fairgrounds, and I had an old Volkswagen back then with a little sunroof. I popped that deal up, and I just sat up there, and it was like I saw more stars that night than I've ever seen. The air felt crisper than it ever felt. I just began to worship God in tongues. I'm telling you, that was a turning point in my life. A turning point in my life. I've never been the same. I've never been the same. Since then, I've been learning to become a worshiper. And how many of you know there's more levels? Everybody say, let's go deeper. Everybody say, come on, Jesus. Let's go deeper. Well, David, verse 10, mark it. David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Now, hey, common sense would say, go fight them. They're fighting you. Go fight them. See that? David said, we're not going to take anything for granted. We're going to seek God. What does God want to do here? Oh, that's important. You need to write that down. Seek God. Isn't that deep? Well, I want you to write that down. Write that down, Laura. Seek God. Amen. It's hard to get much deeper than that. Verse 10, David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines, and wilt thou deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said unto him, go up, for I will deliver them into thy hand. Verse 11, so David came up to Baal-perazim. That word simply means a place of breakthrough. And David smote them there. Then David said, God hath broken in upon mine enemies by mine hand, like the breaking forth of waters. Therefore they called the name of the place Baal Perazim. Did you know that you'll get a breakthrough when you start seeking God? Instead of getting broken up because you didn't seek God, you know, running into a buzzsaw, you start seeking God, and God will show you the path to go. And you'll come out on top. Look at verse 14. Well, look at verse 13. The Philistines, they hadn't got it yet. This man knew how to hear God. The Philistines yet again spread themselves abroad. I mean, he whipped them in that first battle, and they said, oh, that was just a fluke, you know, beginner's luck. New king on the block, so to speak. Let's try again. Oh, they didn't know this is a man who knew how to draw into God. Look at verse 14. Therefore, David inquired again. Everybody say again.
Again.
Therefore, David inquired again of God, and God said unto him, go not up after them. Oh, wait a minute. We got a change in plans here. Don't do it the same way. You know, before you hit them head on, this time I want you to fake a retreat. I'm kind of paraphrasing here. I want you to fake like you're afraid and you retreat, and then when we catch them down by the mulberry trees, the mulberry bushes, mulberry theology, hallelujah. I don't know what your version says, but yours might not say mulberry trees, but look at verse 15. There's a certain grove of trees, and that's where we're going to catch them this time. Verse 16, David therefore did as God commanded him. And he smote the host of the Philistines from Gibeon even to Gaza. Verse 17, and the fame of David went out into all the lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. I want you to write this in your notes and never forget it, and that is this. You must develop the art of drawing in to God. I'm going to say it again. You must develop the habit, the art. I'm even going to use it at the risk of some of you thinking this sounds cold. The technique of drawing in to God. See, there's a way to draw into God, and there's a way that will repulse God. The kind of music you listen to can have a lot to do with whether you know how to draw into God or not. The kind of music you listen to. The kind of people you hang around. The kind of places you frequent. The kind of movies that you see at the movie house. Don't everybody get all excited and say amen on that one. But you know, it's a shame that Christians, by and large, they go see the same filth and garbage that the world sees. And if you say anything, people, you know, they feel like you're threatening about legalism. I want to tell you, when you love God, you don't want to go see filth. That deserved a big amen right there. When you love God, you don't want to go see filth. But there is an art, there is a way, there is an area that you must develop in on how to draw into God's presence. How do you draw into God's presence? Because David didn't have time to fast and pray 40 days and 40 nights. I mean, here comes the army. You better know how to seek God and get with it. And press in. And press in. Let me show you another passage. Go with me to 2 Kings 3. You get anything out of this? I'll tell you, the last time I taught this, and I'm very aware of this, there is line-by-line teaching, 2 Kings chapter 3. There is line-by-line teaching, and then there's what I've come to realize, prophetic teaching. Let me try to describe the difference. Most of my sets and materials, you got to understand, I would go into a church and I have a very limited amount of time. I would go in there for two sessions or four sessions or six sessions, and they were expecting a seminar format. I mean, that was kind of my forte. You'd go in there and you'd just give them a lot of information and bless them. But I also would notice that there would be meetings where it's like something was holding me up getting over into that line-by-line teaching, and it was God. It was God saying, there's something, and you just forget what you thought you were going to do now and get over into the prophetic side. What I mean by prophetic, I mean you're speaking what the Lord wants to speak right then. Still flying around the room? See, I can teach on the subject of worship, and the principles will apply to any congregation. But what I'm talking to WOCC right now is prophetic for our life. See, we have to pause and we have to become more of a worshiping congregation. We have to pause and become more of a praying congregation. We have to minister on this. We have to develop some policies with a smile that say, hey, worship has started. It's not time to chit-chat. It's time to go in and to honor the King of Kings.
And as we do that as a corporate group, what's happening is we're not just learning the generic principles that apply to any congregation. We are prophetically attempting to move in step with what Jesus wants to do here. Amen. Amen. And so if I don't get to all my notes and I don't cover all the material, you know, the tape set's back there. If you want to get a head start, you can get the tape set and listen up before next week, you know. But I probably won't even get to all of that. Why? I'm pausing to just get us in the stream. I'm pausing just to get us in the stream. And some of y'all, it's kind of like yesterday when we got to the river. That water was cold, wasn't it? That water was cold. And, you know, when you stepped down into it, it was cold. And so I saw some people going like this. Ooh. And that's why some people are with worship. Ooh, raising my hands? Okay. Hallelujah. You know? Okay, get in the ankle deep. You know, I want an inner tube so my fanny don't get wet. Where's one of them, you know, that has a bottom in it? I really don't want to get in full blown into worship, you understand? I just like to sit in an inner tube that has a bottom in it so I don't dip down in the water. Honey, you need to swim in the river. You need to swim in the river. You need to become comfortable worshiping and praising God. I tell you, when these corporate prayer nights come, you ought to be here. Our leaders ought to be here, at least some of the time. Not a legalistic thing like all the time, but we ought to be here some of the time. Thank you, visitor, for saying amen. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Why? Because it's in those times of prayer that we're going to hear God. We're going to sow seed out there for our future as a church. We want to see more people saved. We got to sow some seed into the Spirit. We want to see people baptized in the Holy Spirit. We got to prepare the way. We want to see families come in here that need help and they feel a connection here. You got to sow into the Spirit. And so worship and praise is sowing in the Spirit. There's so many things that happen in worship and praise, but we're sowing into the Spirit. We're building our future. We're building our future through worship and through prayer. We're building our future. 2 Kings chapter 3. Now, I want to just give attention just for a moment to this thought of learning how to draw into the presence of God. Everybody say, I want to learn.
I want to learn.
How many of you want to learn how to draw into God's presence? All right. Here's one of the keys right here. Go to verse 14. I'm in 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 14. A fellow named Elisha. Anybody remember who Elisha trained under? That's not a real hard question. Who did Elisha train under?
Elijah.
So I believe if Elisha knew about it, somebody else named Elijah knew about it. Look at verse 14. And Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward you nor see you. He didn't like the guy. Jason's paraphrase. Elisha said, I don't like Ahab. He's a loser. He is a loser. I wouldn't even talk to him. Wouldn't even give him the time of day. Wouldn't walk across the street to shake his hand. But we've got a person here that I do kind of like. His name is Jehoshaphat. Different people that he didn't like. Different kings that weren't serving God. He said, I wouldn't walk across the street to shake their hands. But look at verse 15. But now. Everybody say, but now.
But now.
Everybody say, but now.
But now.
Jehoshaphat was there. Ahab's evil son was there. He said, you know, because I have a little bit of respect for Jehoshaphat, who has sought God, okay, I'm not in a good mood, but I know how to draw into the presence of God. Look at verse 15. But now bring me a minstrel. That means a worshiper. You need to write that in the margin of your Bible. That means bring me a worshiper. Could I just kind of bring it up to the year 2002. Can I just bring it up? Bring me a worship CD. Man, I need a worship CD. Bring me into a worshiping church. Bring me an intercessor. Bring me somebody who knows how to sing in the Spirit. Bring me somebody who knows how to seek God. Why? Look at verse 15. It says, but now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass as the minstrel played. That means that just like David would worship, whoever this person was, began to worship, that the hand of the Lord came upon him. Hallelujah. Now, I've just given you a great revelation right there. One of the ways that you begin to hear God is you take time to worship God. I know when Jeff and I traveled together for many years, we had such good times. We'd just be in our room, we'd study together. All my series, I'd run by Jeff, we'd just brainstorm, get ideas and so forth like that. And then we would pray for the meeting, we would set financial goals. We were very specific. We set financial goals. Even if it was a tiny little church, we knew what we had to have to pay our bills. And it would be kind of nice to take something home to be able to support the family. Come on, amen. And so we'd set financial goals. And one of the things we did is we just walk around speaking in tongues, singing in the Spirit. And what were we doing? We were getting our spirit tuned up before we ever got to the meeting. See, if you wait to get to the meeting until you try to tune up, it's too late. You get tuned up before you get to the meeting. And so often God would give me advance notice of what the altar call was to be or some specific thing that I was to emphasize. And it was simply because I knew how to press into the presence of God through those two wings that we're talking about, and that's worship and that's prayer. You don't just hope it happens. Come on. You don't just say, I hope we have a good service Sunday. I hope a good service shows up. I hope a good service comes to our church. I hope the preacher's hot. I hope the worship team's hot. Hope there's some enthusiasm. Oh, wasn't that a time we had a month ago? Everybody was clapping and jumping. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know what they had. They had their Wheaties that day? I don't know what they had. No, you know how to press into God. Now listen. And I'm not picking on any particular churches, because I've been to a lot of so-called spirit-filled churches. They ain't spirit-filled. Amen. I mean, it says it on the sign, but where'd it go? I don't know. It leaked out really bad somewhere. But there's a lot of churches that their worship time, they're not honoring God. It's just a formality type thing. Singing in the Spirit, oh man, you're going to get the right foot of fellowship right quick, you know, if you sing in the Spirit. You know, you try to prophesy like that, I mean, you're out the door. You're out the door. Nobody knows how to press in and seek God. The whole concept of pressing and seeking God is not there. Now, I'm here to tell you there's twofold application of this. I want you to write this down, A and B. And I'm not so much line-by-line teaching today as much as I'm trying to just minister from the Spirit prophetically where I see our congregations at. Write this down, A. There's an individual application of this. You need to become a worshiper yourself. Amen? You need to become a worshiper yourself. Especially those of you who are self-employed. Man, you got to become a worshiper, because the decisions you have to make influence, you know, many lives. And you're making big, big dollar decisions. You don't want to make a mistake. So if you come upon something that you don't know what to do, just pause. You don't got to spend 40 days and 40 nights doing this. Just pause and just say, Lord, I need your wisdom right now. And Father, I just worship you right now. You begin to just pray under your breath. You lift your voice and begin to sing with the song. I wait on you. So I wait on you. So I wait on you. And you just begin to sing right there. And you say, that's your declaration. Lord, I'm just waiting on you. You know? If I don't know what to do, it's probably better not to do anything. Unless it's life-threatening. Then do something. Jump out of the way of the truck or whatever, you know. Amen. Well, there's the individual application. Then number two, I want you to write this down. There's the corporate application. So when we come into this service, when we walk through those doors, we come in to jump in the river. We're not standing over there on the bank trying to stick our big toe in. Oh, it's cold. We're not standing on the river looking at everybody else worshiping. Now listen to me, men. I'm going to pick on the men. We want real men who know how to worship God. Amen. I don't want to see any man during the worship service like this. Arms folded, looking around. I wonder how many revolutions those fans go around per service. I wonder if they know a couple bulbs are burned out. Wow, they sure are worshiping a long time today. When are we going to get to the message? I hope he doesn't go past 12. you're a man who wants to set a pace. You come in to worship.
Amen.
Well, it's for the ladies too, but I'm talking to the men. I want this church to have strong men. I don't believe you have to, you know, put on a show. We're not talking about that. That's the other side of it. You're not trying to put on a show, but you come in with this thought in your mind, hey, this is our time of corporate worship at WOCC. And whether I feel good or whether I don't feel good or whether I've got a big challenge tomorrow or I've just come through a big challenge, this is my chance by faith to worship Jesus corporately. And so I choose to be a worshiper. Everybody say, I choose.
I choose.
See, I choose to be a worshiper, and I choose to get focused. I'm going to get focused. And so I'm going to sing the songs that go up. I'm going to actually move my mouth. Sounds will come out. Amen. Some of you need to write that down. Move your mouth. We're talking about how to press into the presence of God. Move your mouth. Let some words come out. Lord Jesus, I love you. Some of you get slain in the spirit just over that deal. I'm being a little bit silly, but I am trying to make a very valid point, and that is, you know, you don't come in disinterested. You don't come in held back by, you know, last week's events or the coming week's events. You come in and you worship the Lord by faith. Now, you may not, quote, receive anything right at that moment. The point is, we're magnifying Him. Number one, He's God. You know, whether a blessing comes down or not, they will come down, by the way, because you can never outgive God. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Give unto the Lord power. And it says, the voice of the Lord will be upon the waters. I mean, you just cannot outgive God. You give to God in worship. It's the seed time and principal harvest. You give a seed, and it's going to come back. It may not come back at that service. You know, I may not pick you out and call, you know, your middle name that nobody else knows and give you that word that you always hoped you would get. Yea, thus saith God, you know, you shall be a multimillionaire. You go away disappointed. But you let the Holy Spirit minister to you. And then when the minister starts ministering, you are in more of a position for revelation knowledge to flow in your life. So when the word does come forth, it's not just hitting up here in the head. It's going into the head area, but it's going down into the spirit. And you're not going away with just trying to remember, what was that point he said? You're going away carrying something with you. You getting something out of this? Now, I know I'm in a different flow today. I'm in a different style, different flow, but this is a season for it. I'm not saying I'll always be in this flow, but whenever there is a prophetic time or moment in our church, and I sense that this fall is going to be very significant. And those of you visiting, just thank you for bearing with us, you know, because you don't know all the history. We're a young church, just 2.5 years old. But as we come up to this fall, I sense such a momentum. There's going to be a surge of growth. Hopefully we'll be well along in building out the space next door. But we're going to lay the groundwork now through an understanding of these two wings. And so the prayer explosion, that's happening, is it this coming Friday or is it this coming Friday? This coming Friday, prayer explosion here at 7. Is it 7? 7:30, right here. I'd love to see more than we've been having come to pray with us and to sow into the Spirit. When it comes time to worship, I'd like to look around the auditorium and see more people pressing into God. Not because you're trying to impress me, but you're learning. You're learning how to become a worshiper. And then when you go out of here, you apply it in that individual realm as in that corporate realm. But notice Elisha, the mood he was in. I mean, he went from a total, this guy is a loser, verse 14, to verse 15. Okay, because Jehoshaphat's here, and I do respect him, so bring me a minstrel. Bring me a guitar player. Bring me a worship CD. Help me get my mind and my spirit tuned to the things of God. And once I hear what God says, I'll tell you what He says. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Psalm 27. You learning something today? Psalm 27. You know, our worship team, they, I don't know if you realize this,
You know, they don't just get up here and just hit a few licks. They don't look over, Dave, what do you want to sing today? Brother Dave, what do you want to sing today? Oh, it don't matter. What does Karen want to sing? What's Pastor Martha? You got a list? No, just a, you know. Do you realize they come in here every Tuesday night and they rehearse for a couple of hours? Every Tuesday night? Do you realize that before every service, they're here an hour early practicing, praying, laying the foundation? And so when people work that hard and they are preparing that hard, and then people come drifting in the last song and they've been out there the whole time, that's not right. People are in the parking lot and they're just singing now. The service hasn't really started. They don't understand the importance of worship. So, you know, I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. So if you're out in the parking lot today, don't go away feeling condemned, okay? This is not a condemnation session. But it's a motivation session to let's move to higher level. So that, hey, they've started. I'd love to carry this conversation on. Let's talk after the service. It's time to worship. I got to get in there. It's time to worship. Psalm 27, go to verse 1. Look what David says. Wow, I sure haven't gotten to much of my notes. I just believe the Holy Ghost is doing it. All right, verse 1 says, Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Everybody say the Lord. Verse 2, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me. Now that's not preaching to David about a host. This is the same guy that faced the Philistine army. This is the same guy that was chased by Saul, you know, and his bullies that were trying to keep him from coming into what God had for him. He said, though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. Now I want you to put a star by verse 4, because here was David's priority. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. He said, you know what my focus is? My focus is on going to worship and praise at the house of God. And one day when my body lays down and it dies and I come out of my body, I believe there'll even be a temple in heaven. I will spend all of my life, eternity, in the house of God. There's nothing more that I want than just to get into God's presence where God's people are. I don't want to be down there at the girly bar, the mouse trap, the man trap, the flesh trap. I want to be up here where God's people are. I want to be around some godly people. I don't want to go down to the movie house watching all that junk that everybody watches. That grieves and vexes my spirit. I want to be around folks who lift their hands and worship God. I want to be around a worship team that has practiced and rehearsed, and they come in here prepared to lead the people of God into the presence of God. That's my kind of people.
Amen.
Everybody say, that's my kind of people. You know, honestly, don't take this wrong, okay? Because you thought the same thing. But sometimes when I'm worshiping, I just kind of look around and I look at the people that are here and I go, you know, if it wasn't for Jesus, I'd have anything in common with them. I better not point to anybody. I wouldn't want to be with you. Wouldn't want to be with you. Wouldn't cross the street to talk to you. Your background is so different. You come from that culture. What's bringing us together? I'll tell you what's bringing us together. It's the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And suddenly, I find those same people that if you were to take out that element, they are closer than my own blood family.
Amen.
I want to be with them more than I want to be at all the reunions and all that stuff. And here's your distant cousin that you ain't never met and he's no good and he's going to jail next week. And it's like, I'm glad I saw you pass me another chicken wing. Jesus. And here they're your own flesh and blood, as it were, and you have zero in common with them. But you have a commonness. You have an agreement. You have a unity, a harmony with people from such varied backgrounds because of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody say, that's my kind of people.
That's my kind of people.
I made up my mind a long time ago. I did. You know, I would pray this so often. I'd say, you know, if I never hit the big leagues, and I hope you understand what I'm saying. I said, if I never hit the big leagues, if I don't ever have a TV ministry,
If my book is never, you know, worldwide circulating, if I'm just out here, you know, doing seminars in small churches and nobody ever knows me and I die that way and I've done my best for the Lord, I'd rather be around my kind of people. I don't have to have the glory. I don't have to have the big bucks. I want to be around my kind of people. And who are my kind of people? Verse 4, the people who want to be in the presence of God. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. I want to tell you, get to the point that you don't necessarily have to go to the house of God, though I don't think you should ever leave that off, but you carry the house of God. You are the house of God. God is with you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you understand what it is to draw into the house of God in the time of trouble. In the time of trouble. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And Martha, pick out the song that's in your heart. I want to go back into a time of worship. I've got so much more here, but again, I just want to go by the Holy Spirit. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for teaching us about the priority of your house, the priority of worship and praise. Lord, as the pastor of this church, I have a desire to see hungry people who can't wait to get in those doors because their kind of people are in here. They can't wait to lift their hands. They can't wait to worship God. They can't wait to be in the presence of praise and worship. Lord, we desire, lift your hands to God and help me pray. Lord, we desire for there to be such a higher level for World Outreach Christian Center. Lord, thank you for all you've done, Lord. We can't ignore what you've done. Lord, you've established this church. You've planted this church supernaturally, Lord. You gave us space that we never even thought we were going to have, Lord. Lord, you've given us the money to start building, Lord. We're grateful, Lord, but we want to go deeper in the Spirit, Lord. We want to go further in the things of God. We want to press into the anointing. We want to be like Elisha who said, bring me a minstrel. Bring me somebody who knows how to worship. We want to be like a David when he didn't know what to do. He knew how to inquire of God. Lord, let it be in this house. Let's lift our voice and worship him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
We're just going to learn together how to worship.
Thank you, Lord.
And it doesn't have to be a pre-prepared song, but we just sing what's on our heart.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we just sing our prayers sometimes. And that's what we're doing right now.
Thank you, Lord.
And the worship team, if God will give you a prayer, then go ahead and sing it, and we'll all worship together. And we can do this.
Thank you, Jesus.
Just thank you.
Close to you.
That's my desire, Lord.
Just to be close to you.
I want to worship you, Lord.
Just to be close to you.
Every minute, every hour.
Just to be close to you. Is my just want to touch your face. I just want to touch your face. I just want to touch your face. That's my desire. That's my desire, Lord. I just want to just want to touch your face. Oh, Jesus, I just want to touch your face. That's my desire.
Just want to
know you, Jesus. I just want to know you, Lord. just want to wait on you, Lord. I just want to wait on you. I just want to wait on you. That's my desire. I want to hear from you, Lord. I just want to. Just want to wait on you. I just want to wait on you. That's my desire.
Jesus, I love spending time with you.
Spending time with you.
Body, lift your hand. Anybody that needs healing of the body, lift your hand to the Lord right now. Look around. If there's somebody next to you with a hand raised, would you lay hands on them? Keep your hand up if you need healing in your body. If you're around somebody, find a person with their hand raised, lay hands on them. Father, we thank you. There's a miracle flow in the house because we're in your presence. We thank you, Lord, for healings breaking out now. We thank you for healings breaking out in the camp. Thank you for healings breaking out right now. Thank you for healings breaking out. Miracles happening right now in our midst because of the presence of the Lord.
because we've honored the presence of God. We've honored God. God's power is here in the sanctuary. Lord, we want to behold the beauty and the power of the Lord in the house of God. Father, I thank you for touching your people right now. Whatever the affliction is, whatever the problem is, heal them from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. Heal them in Jesus' mighty name. I come against every affliction, every disease, every pain, every ache, every infection, every virus, bacteria that's bad for their system. We come against it in Jesus' name, and we release the healing power of God in the house. We release the healing power of God in the house. We release the healing power of God in the house right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's sing through it just once more. And begin to thank God for your healing. Those of you that were praying for it, start thanking God that you're healed. Just thank God that you're healed. Father, we thank you that we have started into a new level, a new step for our congregation. Lord, thank you for there being a receptivity in everyone's heart. Those present and those who weren't able to be with us today, Lord, we pray that as we implement this new policy of we just want to be in the sanctuary as soon as we can. We don't want to linger. We want to press into the presence of God. Lord, thank you for there being a receptivity and understanding. More than just an obedience, not just an outward obedience to please the pastor, but an understanding that this is a time that we're going to honor God. And we can take that same dimension with us as we leave the building. And we can be worshipers and not just worship service attendees. We can be worshipers throughout the day, worshiping and praising God. Lord, thank you for what you've done in the bodies of these individuals. Father, we thank you for healings manifesting. We thank you for things turning around in their life. And we'll be sure to give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen. Give the Lord a great big shout.